you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with the Bob Hope Show, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel, rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
Sure didn't look like I was going to get much sleep that night. The Prospect Hotel was right in the middle of town, and from my room, I could hear just about everything went on outside.
Hold up a minute, George.
And there wasn't much I could do about the noise, either. It was too doggone hot to shut the window. The sun had been down for a couple of hours, but there wasn't any breeze, and my room being on the second floor, well, the heat just seemed to sort of hang there.
Whew. Boy.
Yeah. Along about 10 o'clock, I finally managed to doze off. I wasn't exactly sound asleep, you understand. I was just sort of in between, you might say. What the Sam Hill is... For a second, I thought maybe I dreamt that shot. And then I heard somebody come running out of the front door of the hotel and jump on a horse. By the time I got across the room to the window, whoever it was had ridden out of sight. Well, I pulled on my pants. I headed downstairs. I was the first person to reach the lobby. Sid Tucker, he was the fellow who owned the hotel. Sid was standing behind the registration desk, hanging on with both hands. Hey, what happened, Sid? He opened his mouth to give me an answer, but the words just didn't come out. And he started to teeter a little bit from side to side, and then he toppled over. When I got around behind the desk where he was lying, I saw the pink stain across the front of his shirt. It was getting redder every second.
Anything wrong here? I thought I heard a shot. Britt?
Well, it's Sid Tucker. You better get Doc Prince quick.
Well, sure, sure.
Now, and get the sheriff, too, if you can find him, will you? I managed to carry Sid into the dining room, laid him out on the table. I figured the doc might have to do some probing for that bullet in Sid's belly. And if Sid was in a good hard surface, he'd have a little easier time handling him. By this time, everybody in the hotel was crowding around seeing what was wrong. Sid was still breathing, but there was a kind of a raspy noise with every breath he took, and the bleeding was worse than ever. Gee whiz, he was bad off, all right, no doubt about that. Well, it was about 10 minutes before Doc Prince got there. It seemed a lot longer, of course, but it was just about that time.
Now, just go on back to bed, everybody. Go on now. There's nothing you can do here. You'd just be in my way. Please, go on now. You stick around, Britt, if you don't mind.
Why?
Well, I might need somebody to help hold him down.
Oh, sure, sure.
Sid's going to be all right, ain't he, Doc?
Well, I haven't even had a chance to examine him yet. Oh, now, come on, folks. Outside. Please, outside. I'll let you know what his prospects are as soon as I find out myself.
I'm afraid that's not much of a bandage, Doc, but it's the best I could do under the circumstances.
Sure, sure, Britt. Looks like the bullet may have hit a kidney. Now, I told you folks... Oh, hello, Sheriff.
Howdy, Doc. Britt.
Oh, Sam.
How is he?
Not good, Sam. Not good at all. He's lost a lot of blood, and he's hemorrhaging pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. You around when it happened, Britt?
No, I heard a shot, and I came downstairs fast as I could, but he was alone when I got here.
Stop him.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do any digging for that bullet now. It's in too deep.
Listen, it sounds like he's coming too.
Yeah.
Doc, is it all right for me to try and talk to him?
Well, I reckon it won't make much difference one way or the other.
Now, Sid.
I got an awful pain in my belly. What?
Here, now, you just lie there easy, Sid. Don't do no moving around.
Hurts bad, Doc. Awful bad.
Yeah, now, you've been shot, Sid.
Shot?
You remember anything about it?
No, Sheriff. I'm afraid I don't. Oh, yeah, I recollect.
Yeah?
He told me to give him the box. A tin box with the money the folks asked me to keep for him.
You know who it was?
Your money, Britt. Your cash is in that box. 50.
No, don't worry yourself about that.
Did you recognize him, Sid?
What?
The fellow who shot you. Did you get a look at him?
John Stringer.
Stringer, huh?
Must have been him. At least the ways he sure resembled that fella on the wanted posters on the wall here.
Sid?
He's not going to answer no more questions, Sam.
Yeah.
You think it was Stringer, Sam?
Well, could have been. I didn't know he was in these parts, but it's a kind of hold-up murder he's pulled before.
Yeah?
Guess there's only one way to find out for certain. Let's go, Britt.
Why?
Pick up his trail if we can.
Yeah, but...
You'll come with me, won't you?
Well, sure, Sam, but if you think you need me, but there are plenty of local residents and make up a posse without...
I'm not taking a posse, Britt. Might be morning before I could get one together, and by then his trail would be cold. Stringer rides alone, usually. I reckon the two of us can handle him. Your horse in the stable?
Yeah.
Well?
All right, Sam. I'll get Scar and meet you out in front, huh? I'd heard about Johnny Stringer. He'd killed his first man when he was only 14 years old, and they said he'd managed at least one more every year since. He's still young, though, 21, 22. Supposed to be a handsome boy with black curly hair and brown eyes and a little scar on the side of his neck from a gunfight somewhere near Salt Lake City. I'd never met up with him in person. As a matter of fact, this was further south than he usually strayed. That is, if it was Stringer who'd killed Sid Tucker. Well, we got our horses, Sam and I, and started looking for the trail. The fella I'd heard ride off just after the shooting had been heading east toward the Furnace Hills, so we rode out that way. There was a lot of moon, and after milling around 15, 20 minutes, we spotted some fresh tracks along the creek at the edge of town. Of course, we still had no reason to be certain that this was the right trail. Hold on a minute, Sam. Whoa, Scar. Whoa.
What's the matter, Britt? Who?
Look, over there beside that cactus. What's that look like to you?
I don't see any. Oh, yeah.
Easy, boy. Easy.
That the tin box Sid was talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, the kid must have shot the lock open.
Empty, huh?
Yeah.
Probably got tired carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel should have had a safe. Been telling Sid Tucker that for years.
Yeah, well, this box always served the same purpose.
Up till now.
Yeah, up till now.
Sid said he was keeping some of your money for you.
Yeah, a couple of months' pay.
That's too bad.
Oh, well, I'll get over it. Sid won't. Well, no point hanging on to this anymore, I guess.
Yeah, at least we know we're on the right track, Britt.
Yeah, that's something. All right, Scar, let's go. Well, he had an hour's head start, maybe more. And we had to take it pretty slow to be sure we wouldn't lose the trail. So it didn't seem like we had much chance of catching up to him. Not very soon, anyhow. But then just about dawn, when the eastern sky started to show... show a few slivers of orange and yellow. Those tracks we were following took on a different look.
Britt?
Uh-huh?
You see now? Something must have happened to his horse.
Yeah.
Feels like maybe he went lame.
Yeah, sure does, doesn't it?
You see here, Britt? You see?
Oh, boy. Oh.
Must have stopped to rest for a spell.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Watson. Don't seem like it did much good, though. Horse was lamer than ever when they started up again.
He couldn't have been making very much time here on, that's for sure.
Yeah. Better keep our eyes open. Might be running into him any minute.
We were in the Furnace Mountains now, and the sun was coming up hot. Oh, this is going to be another scorcher, all right. You could feel everything start to warm up already. The trail we were following showed more and more signs that the horse was in pretty bad shape. And the places where he'd stopped to rest were getting closer and closer together until finally we saw the fellow on the saddle had just given up trying to ride and started moving out ahead on foot. Easy, easy, Scar. Easy.
Might as well leave the horses here, Britt. You can't be much further now.
Yeah. Sam.
Hmm?
Hey, over there in the cabin on the side of the ravine there.
Uh-huh.
Know whose it is?
No, I ain't never been on this slope before.
Well, somebody's living there. From the looks of that smoke, I'd say they're cooking breakfast.
Let's close in.
We started up the side of the ravine, moving slow, keeping the rocks for cover. It wasn't until we were about 20 yards away that I noticed the barn. Sitting in front of a clump of trees across a little clearing, we swung a little to our left. If we could just get over to the barn without anybody seeing us, then we could move into the cabin itself. But we were still in a place, and we had to get past that clearing first.
He ain't spotted us, Britt.
I guess not. If he's really here.
Look at those tracks leading into the barn. Same horse we've been following. I'd stake my life on it.
Yeah, they do look kind of familiar.
Best thing we can do now is rush the back door to the cabin. If it's unlocked, we can be inside before he even knows what's happened. If it ain't, we'll have to shoot our way in.
All right, Sam. You're calling the turn. It was about 30, 40 feet from the barn to the cabin itself. Sam rocked back on his heels and he gave a lunge forward. He was a big man, but he sure couldn't move plenty fast. All I could do was keep up with him. That door was unlocked, all right, and we charged inside like a couple of Texas steers.
Get your hands up. Get him up quick.
Mother, careless.
Well, who are you?
Who are you? What are you doing here? Where'd you break in like this?
We don't mean any trouble, miss.
Then why did you come?
You
think to rob me, no? Well, I have nothing to steal. You have picked the wrong cabin, senor.
Yeah. Sort of looks like maybe we have.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Not all careless drivers have accidents, but many such careless drivers cause accidents. A woman driver who drives slowly down Main Street while doing a little window shopping is a menace. So is the man who insists on telling the people in the back seat of his car about his poker game last week. It's no wonder that ordinarily cautious drivers start to lose their tempers and take dangerous chances to pass these careless drivers. When an accident results, the person who caused the accident probably won't even be touched. So the National Safety Council says if you want to window shop, get out and walk. If you are too busy describing one of your sterling feats to pay any attention to traffic, get out and walk. The driver's license you have does not give you the right to endanger the lives of your passengers or other human beings. Driving can be dangerous. Keep your mind on what you're doing, or walk.